Well, welcome back to another Uncommon Podcast. I'm TJ.
I'm Joshua.
And we are uncommon, and so are you. I haven't used that intro in a while.
That's the original one, yeah.
Old school, yeah. Back when I used to do the Facebook Lives, mm-hmm. That was kind of the intro. I'm TJ. This is Uncommon, and so are you. This week, we're talking about being sent by God. Mm-hmm. And so my pastor just did this sermon, I think this past Sunday,
yeah.
I think. And as I was sitting there taking notes, I'm like, I'm totally stealing that. Thanks, Clint. So, but it's slightly different. You've heard Isaiah, mm-hmm. Here am I, Lord, send me. Well, we're in Exodus right now. And Moses, sorry, this one's going to hurt a little bit. This one is, here I am, Lord, send someone else. Mm. And so I think Moses would embodies probably everybody listening to this or has been in church or whatever, and someone's like, hey, looking for a missionary to go to Africa. Tomorrow morning, we're leaving. Anybody want to? I'm like, oh, my goodness, don't even look at me. Don't look at me. Stay real still. T-Rex. So when I heard this past sermon, I'm like, man, that's really good because, you know, Moses has a lot of his story, but this one here really kind of like, I think Moses may want that sentence back a little bit. So, you know, do you want to be used by God? You know, today we're exploring that question. Do you really want to be used? It takes more than desire, requires preparation, discipline, and obedience.
Yeah.
And so to set the stage, obviously, Moses is on the top of the mountain, and God's talking to him about being, you know, going to Pharaoh, mm-hmm. right? Let my people go type thing. And Moses starts with the excuses. And we mentioned this in our last podcast, but it starts with excuses. Oh, man, look, I don't speak well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a bad hair day. Lord's like, hey, you know, I'm sending you.
Yeah.
I don't speak well. So Aaron, he's going to be your speaker, mm-hmm. your hype man. You just go and take care of some other business. That's great. Can you send someone else?
You send someone else and Aaron?
He actually says that. So I'll sneak peek our verse, Exodus 4:13. Sorry, Moses.
But he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else.
I get you, Moses. Man, it wasn't like God was telling him to do something pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know, he probably knew the challenge that was going to be ahead of him,
mm-hmm.
to some degree. He definitely didn't know about the 40 years in the wilderness.
Yeah, I don't think he would have signed up.
No, man. He's like, well, what's that travel plan? What? So, availability over ability, mm-hmm. right? God uses people all the time who make themselves available, not just the most talented.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to be thinking, are you available and willing to serve God, even if it's uncomfortable?
Hmm.
You know, there's a lot goes into Uncommon. Writing. I'm not a writer.
Hmm.
Guess what, TJ? It's a content ministry. You're writing.
Yeah.
Okay, I probably can squeeze out, like, you know, one story about what. Great. We're going to need 500 stories. 52 a year. By the way, we're also going to do things like originals and devos and master classes. And did I mention video stuff too?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's all those things that we get kind of drawn into. We probably feel that we're not qualified.
Yeah.
Or the spirit of Moses, I really just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Isn't there someone else on this mountaintop?
Mm-hmm.
You know, poor Aaron got drafted. He wasn't even up there.
He didn't even have it. He couldn't even tell him.
He was down there with someone else with the golden calf making machine. So, surrendering control. I think, you know, trusting God means giving Him control, even when we don't see the full plan. Yeah. I know Moses couldn't see that plan.
No, I think that's the thing to keep in mind with a lot of the stories that we see in the men that God called in the Bible, of a lot of them did not see the full picture. I mean, look at, let's look at Jonah, right? Someone who, he was a prophet. He was doing this stuff normally. I mean, that was his call. And the Lord was like, hey, I need you to go over there. And he's like, oh, no, I'm going over here. So, you know, I don't think he would have chose the cruise line he picked if he knew he was going in the whale kind of thing. And even then, you could tell he got there and he's still upset after they repent, because he's like, this is not going the way I was planning.
I'm going to sit under this tree.
I'm going to pout. But, I mean, each of these guys, you can see that if the Lord calls you, at least the stories that we're reading here, you're going to go there one or two ways. Either, but your feet, your feet or by the whale, you can choose, you know?
Yeah, I don't, it didn't come across as God was like, you know, hey, Moses.
How you feel about that?
What do you think about going down to Egypt and giving the old razzmatazz to Pharaoh about getting my people out of there? What do you think about that? It wasn't a question, Moses.
Does Tuesday work for you?
Right. It was, you're going to go do this. Mm. And I don't think any of us think that when opportunities for service show up, you know, it's not like, you know, we don't think command. We're thinking, okay, there's a need. There's an opportunity. Yeah. Okay, I'll get you. I'll check around later on, maybe. Like athletes trust coaches, we must trust God's guidance completely when it comes to calling us to do something.
Yeah,
the disciples were not woefully inequipped to go spread the gospel, the good news, worldwide.
Yeah,
but that's what they're called to do.
Yeah,
and once they got indwelt the Holy Spirit, then that happened. You know, I was reading in my lesson. When Jesus showed up in the upper room, and one of the books, it says it unlocked the scriptures to them, you know, and because you would see them ask questions like, you know, didn't he just discover? No, he covered this like last chapter, and even he would say, "Oh, you know, you people, you know," but once they unlocked the scriptures, they were then available and willing to go spread the good news.
Yeah.
And so that's later on. That's getting that is seeing Jesus, spending 3 years with him in ministry, kind of thing. Moses just happened to be like, I feel like I need to go up on top of this mountain.
Yeah.
So I don't think Moses was kind of prepared for that to happen, but happen it did.
Yeah. It's interesting. He immediately was like, well, because I like the focus of, he wasn't looking at it as like, okay, God's telling me to go do this. God will sustain me. He immediately was like, well, I'm just not a good fit for this, Lord. Is this on me, right? I can't do that. And I often think back to like, the Lord puts us in positions and scenarios where we have to rely on him, because it's not up to our strength to do these things. And so I just think it's funny, because it's such a human thing of like, well, Lord, I don't have the proclivity to be in front of people and talk. And, you know, and the Lord's like, did I ask if you were a good keynote speaker, Moses? No, I told you to get a step in. So
didn't it say after this here in around the 4:13 range, after he said this, the Lord got his anger burned.
The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. He shall speak for you.
I mean, I love that. I love scripture, because, you know, it's written for us, not about us. And, you know, you can look at that and see that interaction and put yourself in that position without having to put yourself in that position and learn from that, TJ, learn from that and not have God's wrath kindle, because he's told you a couple of times to go do something and you're not, or you're trying to get out of it, kind of thing. And, you know, Abraham and Moses and many others both acted in faith before seeing the results clearly. I mean, it's just, time after time a person is used or called to do something, almost like, because I said so.
Yeah.
And that's the reason.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work for parents, but it works for God.
Yeah. Well, I think that, I mean, it often talks about, you know, the faith of a mustard seed and the faith of a child, mm-hmm. right? It's faith is the cornerstone of most of this because, I mean, Moses went back to go talk to Pharaoh. I'm sure a part of his mind's like, I'm going to die. They're going to straight up just, I'm dead. I'm a dead man walking here.
Sure.
And so there had to be enough faith or at least enough concern about Lord getting angry at you to keep you moving forward and be like, you know what? I'll take my chances with Pharaoh.
So, you know, and get past this couple of scriptures. Moses goes down, sees Aaron doing his thing and everybody else, breaks the Ten Commandments, and then has to go back up.
Imagine that walk.
How nervous do you think that was? Oh, my goodness. He's like, oh. Not only did I break the Ten Commandments, but he's going to tell me to do something else, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, just the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. Knowledge. I mean, it's good to have the Lord in a position of when he speaks, you should do.
Yeah.
Right? And I think Moses saw the blessing after he started to obey. But boy, on that mountaintop, he was having none of it. None of it. He tried every which way. Exodus 4:13, but he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. Our reflection, a question here is, are you fully available to God? Or are there areas you're still holding back from him? Mm. You know, I don't know if Moses was intentionally holding anything back. He just realized that he felt that he was just underqualified.
Yeah.
And if he could see the story that we see, mm-hmm. he would have definitely probably put up a few more. but I don't want to go. You know, he said that, but you know, if he just saw all that was going to take place over the next few years, he'd be like, I don't want to go, but these people are going to be mean and trying to kill me and all that. You know, so, I love that we can learn lessons from the New Testament as well as the Old Testament.
Yeah, I mean,
applies today.
It's always interesting to see how underqualified most of these people were, if not all of them, whenever the Lord called them. I mean, look at the disciples. I mean, fishermen, tradesmen, tax collector. I mean, none of those jobs in my mind are like, yeah, that's a rabbi teacher I'd follow kind of thing.
Right.
I mean,
right. It's
interesting because I often forget, you know, how many of these people just came from normal beginnings and it was the Lord that kind of called them. It's like, you know what? I'm going to use you today. You're going to be my instrument that I can show the world that my power, my faith, and my love. And it's most of the time kicking and screaming, it feels like, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, there are a few that, I mean, you know, David's like, Goliath, here I am.
Yep.
Let's go. I got the sling and 5 stones. Bring your big self over here. I never hear complaints like Noah complained.
Mm-hmm.
I got to keep cutting these trees down to make this wood, and these beavers keep eating half of it. I mean, you know, if you think about those stories, there are some that are there to show us that maybe not everybody was comfortable,
mm-hmm.
qualified, whatever, willing. And then some that were,
yeah.
you know, and then even in the middle of it, David, you know, kind of turned it sideways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just a tremendous amount of examples for us to pull from. But I think we all can agree, we would probably say the same thing that Moses said, please, Lord, send someone else.
Yeah.
So as we get ready to step into our next segment, be sure to check out our website. There is a ton of content from, I think, over 80 different devotions,
yep.
Bible studies that are on our website, as well as YouVersion, Back to the Bible. I think we have a couple of master classes that's got a full range of stuff.
Mm.
And you just kind of poke around. There's good talks. There's originals, Devo pluses, all that kind of stuff. So check out uncommon.org and also include our membership in that research. Mm. Stay tuned for some Uncommon sponsors. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved.
Welcome back, everybody, to segment two on our podcast on Here I Am, Lord, Send Somebody Else. First part, we talked, we're still talking about Moses, but we talked about the kind of precursor to that of his response to the Lord when he was called. And so this, on the other side of our sponsors, we're talking about what it looks like to be prepared to be used by God.
Right.
And we're going to start with the topic of practicing sacrifice. We can see, you know, Moses sacrificed a lot
sure.
to get up and just go, right? He sacrificed comfort, safety, his family, being around loved ones and stuff.
He was there 40 years out there.
Yeah. And that is something that we need to, I mean, obviously in 21st century, that kind of sacrifice looks a lot different.
Sure.
It's a lot harder for us to view that through our eyes. Like, well, I'm not going to go wander the desert for 40 years and die out there. Or I'm not going to go pick a fight with a king somewhere else kind of thing. But God often calls us to give up comfort and resources and time in this day and age that may look like something like, you know, the Holy Spirit's calling you to ask that waitress if there's anything you can pray for them with.
Sure.
Maybe it's asking, hey, you need to talk with your neighbors, make sure they're doing okay.
Right.
Strike up conversation. Volunteer more at church. We just did a podcast about doing time and volunteering and being part of God's team.
Right.
And then resources, you know, maybe it's putting money in the above and beyond or sponsoring something at church, whether it's, you know, mission trips or, you know, Angel Tree or whatever that looks like. Still sacrifices, but just looks a little different to us now as opposed to what Moses went through.
Sure. I think we would classify sacrifice as a whole lot smaller than what maybe Moses may have classified one. You know, we call them first world problems.
Yeah.
You know? So Mom and I went to one of our local barbecue places, and we were a little bit late standing in line, and they ran out of brisket.
The humanity.
And we're like, I cannot believe
we put a man on the moon.
That's right.
We run out of brisket.
Cannot believe this. You know, it's a sacrifice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brisket. It's big. It's big stuff. Real talk. So, you know, true service involves sacrifice, obviously. Yeah. And could any of us ever say that we actually give up something? You know, like when the widow, and was it the tax collector? He gave of his abundance. Mm. She gave everything she had. Do we do that, right? Mm. I have a friend who's, you know, he's always had trouble with finances, money management. And, he's been making some strides recently, and he was sharing with us. And, you know, I told him, I heard a preacher say this years and years ago, that show me your checkbook. That tells you right there how old it is. Show me your checkbook, and I'll show you your heart.
Yeah.
You know, where you spend your money is where your heart is. Mm-hmm. Your interests, how many out to eats you have, versus like maybe what you know, kind of donate toward, I don't know, a ministry,
yeah.
Whether it be your church. I know this great online ministry for men. A lot of different areas that you can kind of sacrifice toward. And so I don't know if any of us are really sacrificing like we see in the Bible.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because the more you're not plugged into God's word, I feel like it's harder and harder to listen to the Holy Spirit and that voice in you that calls you to make those sacrifices, right?
Sure, sure.
If you're not feeding that part of your soul, it's a lot easier to squash that thing because you're like, well, I'm not, I don't really care. I don't, that small voice in your head that says I should talk to the guy I'm on the bus with, I'm not going to listen to that today.
I'm going to turn the TV up some, yeah. So I'm trying that out.
Right. But yeah, I think it's, you know, starting here and seeing where you can kind of make those sacrifices, because there will be sacrifices.
Sure.
Whether it's comfort, time, or resources. Mm-hmm. And we're called to that. Not called to an easy life for this.
No, I think that when Moses left Egypt, I mean, he probably had an easy life when he's at the palace, but once he was kind of driven out of that, mm-hmm. he realized his life had made a turn.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, great. 40 years here. I carved out a nice life. I kind of retire here. What? Mm-hmm. Go where? And then boom, called somewhere else. I mean, I have a bunch of friends that are above 70 that outserve me like crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's not even close. I guess they have the time to do so, but they have, because I know a lot of people who are older that they don't.
Yeah.
They have the time. The difference is they're willing.
Yeah. Where's your heart?
Heart for it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, as we talk about Moses' story, one of the big things that I think that we see throughout this is the thought process of learning through the trial, right? Mm. And what Moses is gleans from God's faithfulness and his presence and his willingness to kind of, for Moses to follow God in those and have him provide in those circumstances.
Sure.
I mean, it's easy to look at a trial as a punishment, right?
Like, sure.
Crap, we did X thing happen, I lost my job, the car broke down, what did I do, Lord? What did I do to correspond to this kind of thing? Mm. And, you know, it's oftentimes it's good to think through of maybe this is time for growth. Sure. Like, okay, so maybe I need to learn to rely more on God in my finances. Of like, okay, I'm spending too much time and focus on building up my treasures here as opposed to the kingdom of heaven. You know,
sure.
Looking at trials from that perspective can often help us see how God is preparing us for that next step. Because,
right.
you know, God's preparing us on a constant basis through trials and wisdom and the Bible and mentors and mentees. And I think we lose out on a great opportunity of growth when we view trials as a slap on the wrist as opposed to an opportunity of growth.
Yeah, I think that we're so geared toward, I just want to be happy all the time. Mm. I want everything to go my way. And when things don't go my way, I don't like that. It's like, what? That's just it's an odd perspective to have. And I think that anytime there's something even closely resembles a trial, we all probably like, you know, well, I don't like that. It's just Monday, TJ. I don't like that. That type of thing. So,
yeah. You're in a brisket? I don't like that.
Exactly. Don't make me come down here again late. Yeah. So developing consistency in our faith, I think, is a great way that we can prepare ourselves for those mountaintop moments. Mm. As Andy says, if you stay ready, you won't have to get ready.
Yeah.
And consistent spiritual practices like prayer, studying scripture, fellowshipping definitely builds our spiritual strength.
Yeah.
And a disciple creates a strong spiritual foundation and prepares us for a greater responsibility when it comes to our walk. I mean, a weak old believer is going to be hard pressed to maybe do something a 30-year believer can do. We give their testimony, serve in any capacity. Mm. I don't know, be able to encourage someone going through something, yeah. right? Relate to scripture while they're going through something. Some things take maturity. Mm-hmm. That sanctification process takes a lifetime. And even though Moses was 80 when he was doing this on the mountaintop, his call to ministry was just starting.
Yeah.
And there's a lesson in that. I mean, you might think, well, 80, I'm going to be taking it easy. Old T's going to be rocking on the porch, watching whatever, waiting for brisket to be done. But you can see that God has plans for people their entire life.
Yeah.
Abraham wasn't young when he started doing this.
Yeah.
Neither was Moses. So you can see that age is not a factor in this. It's willingness.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and we were talking about this between the breaks about the previous verses when Moses was giving his thing of like, you know, well, I stutter. I have problems speaking. And the Lord's like, did I not make the mouth? Am I not president, or I am not over the body kind of thing? And, you know, who better to do that than the Lord? And so it's always interesting when people talk about like, well, all their shortcomings. And I'm like, do you think your shortcoming is more powerful than the Lord? Right. Yeah, that's a pretty big statement.
Sure.
Because you're insane. But like, you know, the Lord, you know, uses those things often to glorify him.
Sure.
To show, well, Moses wasn't eloquent. He says so himself. And the Lord still used him.
Right.
And so how much more powerful the Lord would be if, I mean, sure, it'd be easy to grab the savant guy who's like, well, I can schmooze my way in anywhere. The Lord's like, no, I want you. I want the rough and cut guy who's had a history, who I want to mold into someone who I can use to glorify me.
Once we realize that God can use anyone to do anything, it should give us peace that we don't have to be the world's best at any particular thing.
Yeah.
We just have to be willing.
Yeah.
And even though it might be like, well, I'm not a writer, right? I don't know how to do this stuff. We had to research how to shoot video. I spent like a month or two just figuring out what cable goes into what kind of thing. And we still have a process we go through.
Yeah.
But once you realize that, I'm not sure I want to say it this way, like God doesn't need you, but God can use anyone. If you say no, you're not going to thwart God's plan. He is going to move on to someone else.
And you're going to lose out on the blessing that you would have received if you had followed what the Lord had planned for you.
Bingo. Bingo, bingo. Guarding against pride. Mm. And so, you know, I'm sure as people get called and they do respond, Moses is like, I'm over 1 million plus people.
My follower count is high.
I was going to say, right. So, you know, pride stops God from fully using us, a prideful person, whereas humility opens up a door for greater impact. Mm-hmm. And celebrating victories by giving God glory instead of seeking personal recognition, I think you can kind of see that. I'm trying to think of probably Saul was the one that come to mind that he was called by God to be king, started being like, you know, boy, I love me some me.
Mm-hmm.
And then pretty soon didn't want David to take over the role. So you can kind of see that if, you know, Moses, even though you might feel that, wow, that's kind of harsh, struck that rock twice. Mm-hmm. Of frustration, and it affected where he wound up not going to the promised land.
Yeah.
You know, pride is one of those sneaky sins that is always lurking underneath.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting to see that it's both sides of that coin too. It's self-deprecation of like, well, Lord, I'm not X, Y, and Z. I can't possibly do that. And then, the flip side of, man, I am hot stuff. Yeah, that's me right there. I'm doing that.
Right.
And both sides are equally dangerous.
Sure, sure. Pride cometh before a fall.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we're all called to be humble. And it's a weird, like, paradox. Like, I want you to be humble, but then I need you to come out there and be a leader.
Yeah.
It's like,
I need you to lead from the back.
What? How about I do both kind of that? Well, power of the Holy Spirit. You lead people without an ego.
Yeah.
And that does not come naturally because the internet is full of quote unquote influencers.
Yeah.
The Come on. I got it. I'm not going to gatekeep on this. Mm. I'm going to show you how to be a millionaire, because apparently there's like, you know, a billion millionaires on TikTok, and they're all trying to show me how to be a millionaire
too. That's so nice of them.
It's very nice of them. Really. Thank you very much. It hasn't worked yet, but keep trying. So our reflection question is what, Joshua?
What spiritual discipline can you develop right now to prepare yourself for God's use? So take some time, reflect on that, ask maybe some close family and friends what they see in you, because sometimes it can be kind of hard to see that from the inside.
Sure.
Right. But find one spiritual discipline that you can hone, practice, and use in maybe that next trial the Lord's got lined up for you.
Because obviously God saw something in Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Moses may not have saw it in him, but God saw it in him. And when he called him to use it, Moses tried to get out of doing it.
Mm.
So the challenge is identify one area in your life where you're resisting surrendering to God,
mm-hmm.
and commit this week's activity to doing that thing. Think, oh, wow.
Don't just identify it. Do the thing. So, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. I'll leave it there.
I'm really bad at fasting. Great. You know what you're doing today? You're fasting. It's like, oh, goodness. All right. Well, hopefully that has blessed someone, because I'm sure that here I am, Lord, send me, is not always the go-to.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am, Lord, send someone else is probably the more the common opinion of people. So hope this has blessed someone this week, and be sure to check out all of our content on uncommon.org. And Joshua, hit them with it.
You're going to be something. Be uncommon.